you feel. Tonight, I think we're going to have a talk by Father Rick again, and this one is in, I'm not even near my sheet, so I don't even remember what it's about, but fear. Yeah, I'm afraid that I forgot the topic.
A lot of people can be very much afraid what direction our society is going in, and it's also true what direction our church is going to. Obviously, there's a lot of dissension in the church. We have some bishops who are acting absolutely contrary to the gospel, but that's the way it is. And society in general is kind of revolting. All kinds of crazy things are going on. And one of the things that can come from that is we can become very much afraid of what may happen to our society. If, we hear of things, maybe even in our own neighborhoods or areas where we live, about violence or other problems that may arise, that may feed into that fear. And there are always times when things can happen that can cause us to be frightened. So that's one of the things that if we pay any attention to the scriptures, God is time and time and time again says, do not fear. It runs through the Old Testament, it runs through the New Testament. It's probably the one phrase that is used most often in God's word to us, do not be afraid, do not fear. And he says that to us not because he's going to say that bad things aren't going to happen or that we won't be persecuted or there won't be war. What he is saying is you have to trust me because I am truly the one in charge. I am the one that knows what's going on and I know what is going to happen. And so his reason for saying don't fear, don't be afraid, is because he wants us to place our complete trust in him, no matter what the situation, even when it sounds rather grievous and pretty terrible. He wants us to come forth and recognize that God can get us through anything. And it doesn't mean that there won't be suffering, doesn't mean there won't be death. But what he does mean is that whatever happens to those who trust him, he can draw good out of that. We may lose our life in a situation, but if we have trusted in God, it won't be a bad thing. It will be for the good of all people. Be good for our church and what have you. And that is so that we can exercise that, really, that gift of trust. Something he says to his apostles before he leaves, don't be afraid. He says to them, I will be with you until the end of time. And so he wants us to know, and I think, I don't know if I mentioned it here or the other, someplace else, but anyway, the fact is that he wants us to know that if he's the one in charge, then we don't have to worry how we work things out. That is, if people come against us in a sense with guns, and all we have is a popsicle stick, God can say that's enough. Probably the best example of that is David and Goliath. You know the story, Goliath, a huge guy, armed to the teeth, going to take on the Israelites. And God had called David as a young man to go and be a part of the fighting force. And when he shows up, he's, I guess in a sense, kind of scrawny. And Saul put the armor on him. He said, I can't walk with all this stuff, you know. Leilani says, I don't need it. And of course, Goliath laughs in his face when he walks out because he's just a skinny kid. He's there, you know, however tall he was, 7-8 feet. And maybe he wasn't that tall, but he was big for that time anyway. And he just laughs at him. Probably was insulted that they would do this. And probably couldn't figure it out because one swipe of the sword would lop his head off, you know. He's standing there. And David stands there bravely. And he knows that the only thing that's going to carry him through is his trust in God. And as you know, he has just a slingshot. While we may come along and say, well, that's a nice story. Well, it's a very real image of what God is trying to inform us in throughout the scriptures. It's why he chose the people that he chose. It's today when readings at Mass, it's the story of Abraham. And God comes along and is going to make him a great nation. The guy's 80 years old. No children. His wife's just as old. Abraham says, I trust in you, but after he does all of this and he walks away from his tribe, goes off by himself while he has his nephew with him, but they go off with his goods, and he's kind of hanging around this place, and he says, how am I going to be the father of a great nation? You know, and God comes and says, go out and count the stars in the sky. He says, okay, but how's that going to happen? I'm old, my wife is old. We're past childbearing years. And God says, you can trust me. But nothing happens. Abraham goes to God and says, all I have is my manservant here. And if I don't have any kids, he's going to get everything. God said, no, it's going to be your own issue. Abraham, later on, gets worried and he decides to have relationships with his wife's maid, so to speak, to raise up. And God says, nope, wrong, wrong, wrong. So he was trying to do what the Lord wanted, but he was trying to figure out how it's going to happen. Finally, God says, your wife will become pregnant and you will have a son. They name him Isaac, which apparently, according to the scriptures, has its root word in the word laughter. Because the story tells us that when his wife heard that she was going to become pregnant and have a child, she laughed. She thought that was funny. But when she brought forth the kid, she says, well, we'll name him Isaac. Because he was a surprise. But he trusted, and you know later on, as the child grew, God comes along and says, go sacrifice him. And Abraham's in a corner. If I kill my only child, he's not even old enough to have relations with anybody, he's still a kid. Now you want me to go kill him. So, you know, he scratches his head and says, whatever. And off he goes. But he's all the time trying to figure out, how is God going to do this? And he seems to be going back on his word. But God is coming along and saying, Abraham, you've got to trust me. I know what I'm doing. And if we are going to be genuine with God in our lives, we have to trust him. We have to come along and say, maybe my life is wonderful, maybe my life is going into the pits. But I will trust him. Maybe I'm truly healthy and everything is going my way. Maybe I'm getting sicker and sicker as the day goes on. I say, well, I don't know. But we have to come along and say, I'm going to trust God because he is the one who can do this, who can work it out. And when he does that, and we trust him, then we come along and say, I see how God can work in this situation. I can see what God is asking and what he wants in this. As we mature, so to speak, we can become aware of a greater and greater trust in God, so that even when things look absolutely bleak in our life, or in our relationship with the church or whatever, that we come along and can say, it doesn't matter because God knows what he is doing. What that means is that we ourselves have to live that out. We ourselves have to be firm in our faith in trusting God, so that no matter what, we can come along and say, God has the plan to bring about what he wants to bring about. Now, in the course of events, we may suffer. But if we remain faithful to him, that suffering only goes to aid the plan that God has in mind, that he will continue to evolve the church to a community that truly transcends the things of this world. But this is the challenge, that we can trust him. You know, if something goes terribly wrong, throw up our hands and say, what's the use? Then we fail. But if we come along and say, well, I'm going to have to pitch in and do the best I can, then we see that God's going to be at work. You know, I told the story of Gideon the other day, where he was called to develop an army. And God wants to have a very small army to face the attackers. And Gideon is not a soldier. As he says, I'm a dresser of fig trees, you know. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. But he was called to lead them. And he took a very, very small group of men, and they defeated the enemy. They came along, and because God says, I want people to understand that it's not they who are doing the fighting, it is me. And the only way that I can help people understand that is to use so-called weak people or weak situations and manifest my power in what I am doing. When we look at Christ himself, you know, he, as they say, he was like a lamb. Huh? Lambs you don't think of being as something very strong or able to attack anything. And so we see that Jesus goes to his death. But in that very process, what Jesus is trying to do and what his Father is trying to do breeds success. Because after Jesus rose from the dead and the apostles got the Holy Spirit, it tells us on that very first day, when Paul and the apostles began to preach what Jesus did, their word was so powerful that 3,000 people came to faith. And there were other stories where they did this, where they went and people just came and wanted to understand who this Jesus is. And so this is the thing, that we have to be the people who remain faithful, even if we're frightened, and say, God, I'm going to trust in you. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to manage. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But with you at my side, we can do this. We can accomplish something. And this is what we have to do. This is how we have to approach things. Knowing that God is in charge of every one of our lives. It's not just a few people, but everyone who comes along and says, I am a follower of Christ, can face that And any time that we feel that there's a reversal or something is going against us, and we trust God and say, God, you're at work here, and so I will trust you, then we know that God will do his part in bringing it about, whatever it is he wants to accomplish. And all we have to do is try to be faithful. All we have to do is try to remain trusting in whatever it is that God wants to do in our lives or in our parish. This is a great big weekend that Taylor Swift is coming to town. And there are going to be, I guess what, two nights of 80,000 people each going to these things because she's so wonderful and so great and everybody has to experience her. And then we look at our church on Sunday and see 75 people there and say, what's the problem? What's the problem? Well, the problem is us. If we are not standing up for our faith, if we are afraid to say things to people about what is happening and what is going on in society, if we kind of shrug our shoulders and say, well, gender dysphoria, I guess, is the way of the future or something like that, or let's take every child and mutilate them at birth so that they can be neutered, and later on science can turn them into boys and girls or whatever, men and women, whatever, because we're not going to stand up for what we believe. We kind of cave in. And it doesn't mean we have to be mean, but it means we have to be willing to speak the truth. Because there are going to be lots of people that do not want to hear the truth because they want what they want. And so we have to choose to be willing to take the brunt of people's anger, their hatred, their pain because they don't like what's going on and they don't know how to deal with it. We have to come along and say, God, I'm going to trust in you and I'll do what I can. And I'm not saying we have to stand on street corners waving the Bible and say, you're all going to hell if you don't believe in this. That doesn't do a whole lot of good. But when we come one-to-one with people, and maybe it's sometimes our family, maybe it's our relatives, maybe it's our sons and daughters, maybe it's our parents, whatever it may be, maybe it's our next door neighbor, and we don't speak the truth, as they say, we shrug our shoulders and walk away, then we're failing God. We're failing our faith because we're saying in a very real, obvious way, I don't buy into what I say I practice anyway. If Christians, or if the whole world were Christian, God would take care of the world. You know, people are so worried about the situation that the earth is getting too hot, or we can't have gas stoves because of the emissions and all. If we really loved God and lived his life, God would take care of our planet because we were taking care of our faith. But when we abandon our faith and throw everything to the wind and say the scientists and those who do all these tests, they know the truth. All we have is just some made up stuff in the Bible and we don't know if it's true or not. Well, that's not what it's about. We have to come along and say, I don't care what you say, I know what is true. And therefore, that's what I'm going to live. You know, many years ago, I went through a very difficult situation. I'm not going to explain it, but the fact of the matter is that there was every possibility I would have been dismissed from the priesthood. And I said to God, God, this is your business. I said, because I can either do your work here as a priest or out there in the world somewhere. But as I prayed for that, I said, God, I will be true to who I am. And I will stand up and I will say that I have been a priest throughout my priesthood and have never abandoned it. And in the long run, God came along and he took care of it. I didn't do anything. He took care of it. The thing is that I was very much afraid because I loved being a priest. But the fact is, I said, God, you're the one in charge of my life. So I put my life in your hands. And do whatever it is that you think is necessary. And so when that happened and everything cleared up, and I discovered who the people were that were behind all of this, one of them was a priest who wanted my job. And he was dismissed from the priesthood because he had some real mentally sick problems. But the thing is that I didn't have to fight it because God was in charge, and I handed it over to him. And I was still very much afraid of what might happen. But when God cleared the path and said, everything's fine, I had to thank him for his faithfulness to me as I tried to be faithful to him. And so the thing is that this is what we have to do. We may not know the outcome. We may not know how God is going to use us. But if we are open to him, however it turns out, God will make use of that in the best way. Faithfulness to God is what is important. Being truthful and honest with ourselves and with others in the way that we live out our faith is extremely important. So if we don't want to, and I have nothing against Taylor Swift. I don't know one of her songs. I don't know what she does. I don't know how she lives her life. But we have had that through our lives. Huh? I think the first one was Frank Sinatra, where all the girls fainted every time he sang. And then Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley, everybody was falling over because of the way he danced. And then we had the Beatles, who came along and said, we're more popular than God. So now we have this. It's the girls' turn, I guess, to have this kind of crowd, you know. But the fact is, they will pass. The love of God never passes. It's always real and valuable and the most important thing in our lives.